Welcome to Tales of Wonder. I'm Mardell. Season 1 isn't quite over yet. Here's a bonus book for you. It's called Granny's Wonderful Chair by Frances Brown. I hope you'll enjoy it. Chapter 1, Introductory. In an old time, long ago, when the fairies were in the world, there lived a little girl, so very fair and pleasant of look, that they called her Snowflower. This girl was good as well as pretty. No one had ever seen her frown or heard her say a cross word, and young and old were glad when they saw her coming. Snowflower had no relation in the world but a very old grandmother called Dame Frostyface. People did not like her quite so well as her granddaughter, for she was cross enough at times, though always kind to Snowflower. They lived together in a little cottage, built of peat and thatched with reeds, on the edge of a great forest. Tall trees sheltered its back from the north wind, and the midday sun made its front warm and cheerful. Swallows built in the eaves, and daisies grew thick at the door. But there were none in all that country poorer than Snowflower and her grandmother. A cat and two hens were all their livestock. Their bed was dry grass, and the only good piece of furniture in the cottage was a great armchair with wheels on its feet, a black velvet cushion, and many strange carvings of flowers and fairies on its dark oaken back. On that chair Dame Frostyface sat spinning from morning till night to keep herself and her granddaughter, while Snowflower gathered sticks for the fire, looked after the hens and the cat, and did whatever else her grandmother bade her. There was nobody in that part of the country could spin such fine yarn as Dame Frostyface. But she spun very slowly. Her wheel was as old as herself, and far more worn out. Indeed, the wonder was that it did not fall to pieces. So what the dame earned was very little, and their living was scanty. Snowflower, however, felt no want of good dinners or fine clothes. Every evening, when the fire was heaped with the sticks she had gathered till it blazed and crackled up the cottage chimney, Dame Frostyface set aside her wheel and told her a new story. Often did the little girl wonder where her grandmother had gathered so many stories, but she soon learned that. One sunny morning, at the time of the coming of the swallows, the dame rose up, put on the gray hood and cloak in which she carried her yarn to the fairs, and said, "My child, I am going on a long journey to visit an aunt of mine who lives far in the north country. I cannot take you with me, because my aunt is the crossest woman alive, and never liked young people. But the hens will lay eggs for you, and there is barley meal in the barrel. And as you have been a good girl, I'll tell you what to do when you feel lonely. Lay your head gently down on the cushion of the armchair and say, 'Chair of my grandmother, tell me a story.'" The chair was made by a clever fairy who lived in the forest when I was young, and she gave it to me because she knew nobody could keep what they got hold of better than I could, remember. You must never ask a story more than once in the day. If there is any need to travel, you have only to seat yourself in it and say, "Chair of my grandmother, take me such a way. It will carry you wherever you wish. Then mind to oil the wheels before you set out, for I have sat on it these 40 years in that same corner." Having said this, Dame Frostyface set forth to see her aunt in the north country. Snowflower gathered wood for the fire and looked after the hens and cat, as she had always done. She baked herself a cake or two of the barley meal, but when evening came, the cottage looked lonely. Then Snowflower remembered her grandmother's words, and laying her head gently down, she said, "Chair of my grandmother, tell me a story." Hardly were the words spoken, when a clear voice from under the velvet cushion began a new and most wonderful tale, which surprised Snowflower so much that she forgot to be afraid. After that, the good girl was lonely no more. Every morning, she baked a barley cake. Every evening, the chair told her a new story. But she could never find out to whom the voice belonged. Though Snowflower showed her thanks by keeping bright the oaken back and dusting the velvet cushion, till the chair looked as good as new. The swallows came and built in the eaves, and the daisies grew thicker than ever at the door. But great troubles fell upon Snowflower. In spite of all her care, she forgot to clip the hens' wings, and they flew away one morning to visit their friends, the pheasants, who lived far in the forest. The cat went away to see its friends. The barley meal was eaten up, except two handfuls, and Snowflower had often looked out in the hope of seeing the gray cloak. But Dame Frostyface did not come back. "My grandmother stays long," said Snowflower to herself, "and by and by there will be nothing left to eat. If I could get to her, perhaps she would tell me what to do. Surely there is good need for me to travel." Next day at sunrise, Snowflower oiled the wheels of the chair, baked a cake out of the last of the meal, took it on her lap by way of food for the journey, seated herself, and said, "Chair of my grandmother, take me the way she went." At once, the chair gave a creak and began to move out of the cottage and into the forest, the very way Dame Frostyface had taken, where it rolled along at the rate of a coach and six. Snowflower was amazed at this way of traveling, but the chair never stopped nor stayed the whole summer day, till as the sun was setting, they came upon an open space, where 100 men were cutting down the tall trees with their axes. 100 more were splitting them for firewood, and 20 men with horses and wagons were carrying the wood away.
"Oh, chair of my grandmother, stop," said Snowflower, for she was tired and also wished to know what this might mean. The chair at once stood still, and Snowflower, seeing an old woodcutter who looked kind, stepped up to him and said, "Good father, tell me why you cut all this wood."
"Where do you live?" replied the man, "that you have not heard of the great feast which King Winwealth means to give on the birthday of his only daughter, Princess Greedelind. It will last for 7 days. Everybody will be feasted. And this wood is to roast the oxen and the sheep, and the geese and the turkeys, amongst whom there is great sorrow throughout the land."
When Snowflower heard that, she could not help wishing to see, and perhaps to share in such a noble feast, after living so long on barley cakes. So, seating herself, she said, "Chair of my grandmother, take me quickly to the palace of King Winwealth." The words were hardly spoken when off the chair started through the trees and out of the forest, to the great surprise of the woodcutters, who, never having seen such a sight before, threw down their axes, left their wagons, and went after Snowflower to the gates of a great and splendid city, having strong walls and high towers, and standing in the midst of a wide plain covered with cornfields, fruit gardens, and villages. It was the richest city in all the land. People came from every part of the land to buy and sell, and there was a saying that they had only to live 7 years in it to make their fortunes. Riches they were, however. Snowflower had never seen so many discontented, greedy faces as looked out from the great shops, grand houses, and fine coaches when her chair rattled along its streets. Indeed, the people of that city were not much thought of for either good nature or honesty. But it had not been so when King Winwealth was young, and he and his brother, Prince Wisewit, governed the land. Prince Wisewit knew the whole art of governing, the tempers of men, and the powers of the stars. Moreover, he was a very clever man, and it was said of him that he could never die or grow old. In his time, there was neither discontent nor sickness in the city. Strangers were kindly treated without price or questions. Then no one went to law against his neighbor, and no one locked his door at night. The fairies used to come there at May Day and Michaelmas, for they were Prince Wisewit's friends, all but one, called Fortunetta, a short-sighted but very cunning fairy who hated everybody wiser than herself, and above all the prince, because she could never cheat him. There was peace and pleasure for many a year in King Winwealth's city, till one day at midsummer Prince Wisewit went alone in the forest in search of a strange plant for his garden, but he never came back, though the king with all his guards looked for him far and near. No news was ever heard of him. When his brother was gone, King Winwealth grew lonely in his great palace, so he married a princess called Wantall, and brought her home to be his queen. This princess was neither handsome nor pleasant. People thought she must have gained the king's love by the charms she worked, for her whole dowry was a desert island with a huge pit in it that could never be filled, and she was so greedy that the more she got, the greedier she grew. In course of time, the king and queen had an only daughter who was to be the heiress of all the kingdom. Her name was the Princess Greedelind, and the whole city were at that time preparing to keep her birthday. Not that they cared much for the princess, who was very like her mother both in looks and temper, but being King Winwealth's only daughter, people came from far and near to the feast, and among them strangers and fairies who had not been there since the day of Prince Wisewit. There was a great stir about the palace, a most noble building, so large that it had a room for every day in the year. All the floors were of beautiful dark wood, and all the roofs of silver, and there was such a large number of golden dishes used by the household that 500 men kept guard night and day, lest any of them should be stolen. When these guards saw Snowflower and her chair, they ran one after the other to tell the king, for the like had never been seen nor heard of in his kingdom, and all the court crowded out to see the little maiden and her chair that came of itself. When Snowflower saw the lords and ladies in their fine robes and splendid jewels, she began to feel ashamed of her own bare feet and linen gown. But at length, taking courage, she answered all their questions and told them everything about her wonderful chair. The queen and the princess cared for nothing that was not gilt. The people of the court had learned to do the same, and all turned away in great scorn, except the old king, who, thinking the chair might amuse him sometimes when he got into low spirits, allowed Snowflower to stay and feast in his worst kitchen. The poor girl was glad of any place, though nobody made her welcome. Even the servants looked down upon her bare feet and linen gown. They would give her chair no room but in a dusty corner behind the back door, where Snowflower was told that she might sleep at night and eat up the scraps the cook threw away. That very day the feast began,
It was fine to see the great crowds of coaches and people on foot and on horseback who came to the palace and filled every room according to their rank. Never had Snowflower seen such roasting and boiling. There was wine for the lords, and ale for the common people, music and dancing of all kinds, and the best of gay dresses. But with all the good cheer, there seemed little joy, and a great deal of ill humor in the palace. Some of the guests thought they should have been feasted in grander rooms. Others were vexed to see many finer than themselves. All the servants were very displeased because they did not get presents. There was somebody caught every hour stealing the cups, and a great number of people were always at the gate shouting for goods and lands, which Queen Wantall had taken from them. The guards were always driving them away, but they came back again and could be heard plainly in the highest hall. So it was not wonderful that the old king's spirits were very low that evening after supper. His page, who always stood behind him, seeing this, reminded His Majesty of the little girl in her chair. "It is a good thought," said King Winwealth. "I have not heard a story this many a year. Bring the child in the chair at once." The page sent someone to the first kitchen, who told the master cook. The master cook told the kitchen maid. The kitchen maid told the dust boy, and he told Snowflower to wash her face, rub up her chair, and go to the highest hall, for the great King Winwealth wished to hear a story. Nobody offered to help her, but when Snowflower had made herself as smart as she could with soap and water, and rubbed the chair till it looked as if dust had never fallen on it, she seated herself and said, "Chair of my grandmother, take me to the highest hall." At once the chair marched in a grave and courtly manner, out of the kitchen, up the staircase, and into the highest hall. The chief lords and ladies of the land were feasting there, besides a great many fairies and noble people from far-off countries. There had never been such company in the palace since the time of Prince Wisewit. Nobody wore less than the finest satin. King Winwealth sat on his ivory throne in a robe of purple velvet, stiff with flowers of gold. The queen sat by his side in a robe of silver cloth, clasped with pearls. But the Princess Greedolind was finer still, the feast being in her honor. She wore a robe of cloth of gold, clasped with diamonds. Two waiting ladies in white satin stood, one on either side, to hold her fan and handkerchief, and two pages in gold lace livery stood behind her chair. With all that, Princess Greedolind looked ugly and spiteful. She and her mother were angry to see a barefooted girl in an old chair allowed to enter the highest hall. The supper table was still covered with golden dishes and the best of good things, but no one offered Snowflower a morsel. So, having made an humble bow to the king, the queen, the princess, and the good company, most of whom hardly noticed her, the poor little girl sat down upon the carpet, laid her head on the velvet cushion, as she used to do in the old cottage, and said, "Chair of my grandmother, tell me a story." Everybody was greatly surprised, even the angry queen and the spiteful princess, when a clear voice from under the cushion said, "Listen to the story of the Christmas cuckoo."
Join me next week on Tales of Wonder for the story of the Christmas cuckoo from Granny's Wonderful Chair by Frances Brown.